Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2017, the Somewhere in the Skies podcast has been a place for people in all walks of life to tell their personal UFO stories. How have these sightings and encounters changed those who experience them? From Beyond the Fray Publishing comes Ryan Sprague's brand new book, Stories from Somewhere in the Skies. This compendium brings to life some of the most powerful UFO stories ever submitted to Somewhere in the Skies podcast. It takes us on a fascinating journey through life-altering experiences from those who stared into the skies and had something extraordinary stare back. Stories from Somewhere in the Skies, now available in paperback and ebook on Amazon. Order today from the link in the show notes or visit Amazon and search for Stories from Somewhere in the Skies.
You've reached the Somewhere in the Skies podcast. Please leave your message at the beep.
I freaking love the show. The UFO subject kind of dropped off my radar for a little bit, and Somewhere in the Skies has definitely rekindled my fascination and love for the subject. So thank you again for that. And I will be listening as long as you're making a show. Hey man, thanks for taking the time and hearing me out. I really appreciate it. You have a good one, all right?
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague.
Hey Ryan, this is Jazz. You and the listeners may already know me because, well, I've been on your show and from UFO Twitter and whatnot. And I had promised you I would call in and do one of the witness account stories from my own experiences. So this is it. I should start by saying I'm well into my 60s now. And I've always been interested in the topic of UFOs, but mostly like from a science fiction thing or just, you know, speculation. I never saw anything for more than 60 years except for, you know, every once in a while, maybe some weird lights in the sky, but who knows what those are. And that was until November of 2020 when everything changed. Pretty late in the evening for me anyway. It was like 9 o'clock. It was well after dark, and I had gone out on my front porch, and I wasn't looking for anything in particular. I just happened to look to the east because my house faces east, and above the ridge to the east of our house I saw a thing. It wasn't a dot of light or a satellite. I mean, it was round like a globe or a orb or whatever you want to call it, and depending how far away it is, it had to have been fairly good size, I guess. But it was up there above the ridge, and it had all these different lights. I mean, it wasn't like regular FAA lights on a plane or a helicopter or anything. Lots of different colors, and they seemed to keep shifting. I immediately yelled for my wife. She came out and looked at it, and she was pretty amazed, but also had no clue what it might be. And after I called her out, I ran across the street to get away from the streetlights, and I started filming it, because it was moving, but it was moving really slowly. It was going like, from left to right, that would be north to south, but back and forth slowly, and it would go up and down, and it just kept doing that. I filmed that thing for more than 5 minutes. It's on my YouTube channel. But really, that's the whole account. It never came close. It never did anything dramatic. It didn't exhibit any burst of speed or anything like that. It was just sort of going back and forth. And I eventually gave up, and I went inside and went to bed. So that was that. And it was nothing really definitive. It was barely a week later that the second one happened. I was out on the back deck behind my house, and my wife was walking the dog on the side street next to us. And I suddenly saw her looking up, and she was pointing, and she was taking out her camera. And so I looked up, and I should say this was, again, it was pretty late, about the same time of night. And it was a dark night. It had been raining on and off, and it was mostly overcast. And going right over our neighborhood, part of it right over our house, there was a black triangle. That's the term everybody uses and is familiar with. And it was big. I don't know how big, because I don't know how high up it was, but there were rain clouds, and they get down pretty low, and it was lower than that, so it wasn't super high up. It didn't have the typical lights that you see, like in a lot of the artwork or in the UFO documentaries and stuff. It didn't have the a light at each corner or a bright light in the center. What it did have was a whole bunch of these little tiny sparkly lights of different colors, and they seemed to shift, and they moved in relation to each other, like they weren't really attached to whatever it was. And it was just kind of mystifying, and I was just awestruck, just kind of watching, because it's just this huge thing. Like I said, I got the impression, depending on how high up it was, that it should have been like the size of a football field. I mean, it was big. And it didn't make any noise, and it just was going over, and it just kept going. And much like the last one, it never did anything extraordinary. It didn't suddenly speed away or shoot. It just kept going, and it was an overcast night until it just faded out of sight. And I was checking local news and, you know, for a few days, see if anybody else had seen this or reported it, and nobody had. But if you hadn't have been out there on a somewhat rainy night and staring up at the clouds, you wouldn't have seen it. So I guess that kind of makes sense. So that was the second one, and there was two within 1 week. And then we didn't see anything until late spring of the next year in 2021. And it was the middle of the afternoon. I was out on my back deck. And by that time, I was following your advice, and I was always, whenever I had time, like looking up at the sky. And then something came by that I'd never seen before. And it came from the east, from the west heading east, from my left to my right, not too far away from our house. And it was, for lack of a better term, what everybody calls today a tic-tac. There's just no other way to put it. It was much longer than it was around. It was white. I guesstimated it was probably like the size of a bus. It might have been like 40-50 feet, but again, it depends how high it was. It's hard to say. No sound, and it took me a moment to realize that that's what I was looking at, that it wasn't a plane or something. And I reached for my phone and realized it wasn't in my pocket. It was charging inside, and I just went crashing into my house. I went crashing through the house and yelling for my wife, "Get out front, get your phone." And I went and yanked mine off the charger and went out front, and my wife got out in front of me, and when I got out there was nothing there. And she said she saw something white, but just for a second, and then she lost it. So we weren't sure what happened, but I had gotten a good look at it while it was moving. It was not really going that fast, and again, totally quiet and everything. And that was the end of that encounter. That was the first of three that were all the same type of vehicle or the same one. Maybe I live on an interspace hyperpass or something. The next one came during the summer. It was again in broad daylight. It was in the morning, late morning. And it was pretty much a repeat. It was another white tic-tac thing. No windows, no tail, no wings. No, it was just, I mean, it could have been a huge, long, skinny propane cylinder or something, you know, for whatever that's worth. But this time I had my phone with me. And once I realized once again what it was, I brought up my camera and started filming, trying to. And this time it came by and it got just about even with my house. And at that point it stopped. And I, to my memory and what little there is on the video, because the camera refused to focus on the damn thing, it was trying to focus on everything else, like the phone lines and whatnot. It was going and then it just wasn't going, and it was just hanging there. And again, no sound or anything, pretty much the same as the last one. But it stopped and it started to turn, it started to rotate a little bit. So one end, the nose or the tail, whichever it might be, was pointing a little more towards me instead of being like parallel. And it was there just for a second or two, and it vanished. And when I say it vanished, I told you this before, I don't mean it didn't fly away, it didn't land, it didn't crash. It was just there. And then if you look at the video, and a friend of mine who's a videographer did some enhancements on it and color corrections to make things pop out a little more. It was there, and then on the next frame, it just wasn't there anymore. It just disappeared. So there was that one, and then later that year, and I didn't get that one on film, and it happened faster. It was, again, a repeat. This one was in the afternoon again. And another one of them came by, but it just kept on going. And so it didn't do anything as spectacular, although that's, my memory's not good for that one, and I wish I'd gotten it on film. It feels like it flew away, but it was there, and then I couldn't see it anymore, but, so I'm not sure what that one did. So the second of the two was really the most spectacular one for me, and there's been nothing since then. We haven't seen anything else that might qualify as a craft. I know you like people to talk about how it made them feel and whatnot. That's kind of hard to say. The first one, the glowing orb thing above the ridge, I really only just felt confused, I think, and I was questioning myself immediately thereafter, like, well, maybe could it have been a helicopter with some really not legal FAA lighting for some bizarre light show? I still don't know to this day. Maybe. I think the triangle is the one that really changed everything for both me and my wife. Because that was, just nothing that explains that. And it was shocking. I felt a sense of awe. I don't recall feeling anything like being frightened. But it was more just being amazed. And the tic-tacs were a totally different thing, particularly the second one that disappeared. I felt, in some ways, again, kind of just awestruck, like my view of the world had changed, something that should have been fictional or hypothetical or something that happened to other people, and then it's right there in broad daylight in front of your eyes. Unlike some people, I never considered it like a religious experience. It just made me more confident that we don't know everything that's going on. If what that, particularly the tic-tacs, if what those things can do, if that's human tech, then I'm going to be really annoyed at who hasn't shared that tech with the rest of the world, because I don't see any other explanation for that except anti-gravity. And if somebody's figured that out and not told us, they got some explaining to do, as I've said to many people. It's left me more open to other things. I think the experiences made me more ready to listen to other people, whereas in the past I would have been like, really? Okay, maybe, but, you know, It's, I guess, and confusion's another word that I would use. I remain confused about it. As far as whether or not I have any theories of what it is, I already started to run down that. I think the first one, it's possible that might have been something like a helicopter with something really weird. The other ones, no. I've never seen a being or anything like that, just things that show up in the sky. I tend to think, to this day still, the most likely explanation is that it's something non-human. I hope we, in a way, we don't have that tech and it's being hidden from us. But if something is coming from, I don't know, another solar system, or some people say time travelers, I guess, you know, or interdimensional, which I don't really understand, multidimensional stuff. I guess that's all possible, and I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But it's real, and I experienced it 5 times, and it's really changed things for both me and my wife. You know, we look at the world in a different way. We talk about things more seriously that we might have maybe laughed off at some point. But, yeah, that's about it. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, I'm Jazz Shaw on Twitter. I'll send you a link to our videos. They're really not very good. But, yeah, that's it. And nothing since then. Kind of disappointing. I keep watching. Keep hoping. So thanks for letting everybody share their stories. Thanks for sharing mine. And it'll be archived somewhere. And everybody keep enjoying the show.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having me. My name is Maxwell Stoner. And today I'm going to be telling you guys about me and Chris's UFO experience. Some of you guys might know us from the monthly booth that we set up at our local art walk, where we just kind of educate and inform the public about the post-2017 UFO, UAP revolution or whatever. And not a lot of you guys might know how we got into this and why we do this. And I'm going to be sharing me and Chris's human-initiated contact experience. Me and Chris had gotten slowly interested in UFOs in 2020, like a lot of other people. We started watching interviews. We started watching documentaries. We lived together, roommates, sort of watching all these documentaries. And one day we ended up watching kind of an infamous documentary. And some of you guys might know where I'm going with this. But we watched a documentary that puts forth an idea that humans can initiate contact with non-human intelligences, whatever, aliens and UFOs. So me and Chris watched this documentary and we both think it's kind of so far out there and so unbelievable. Like so many UFO documentaries are, it seemed like they made up a ton of stuff. And anyways, within the week, I think we had decided that we would go on our back balcony. We're going to set a 10-minute timer and we were going to meditate for aliens, for peaceful contact, close encounters of the fifth kind, whatever. We set a 10-minute timer, meditate, timer goes off. Within 2 seconds of us turning off the timer and looking in the sky, Chris says, "What is that?" And we look, and it looks like a big shining star is kind of floating around in the sky. And we both didn't know what we were looking at. We're trying to figure out, you know, what it was. And it honestly, it looked somewhat like a Chinese lantern would. And that's what I think some of you guys might be thinking. But we watched this thing for a second, and that's when it was kind of moving behind the clouds. And whenever it went behind the clouds, we could tell that it was something really strange, not something we were used to seeing. And we had started sky watching a lot. And when we saw this thing go behind the clouds, it lost all of its kind of shining rays. So it looked like a perfect, hot, white hot sphere that was behind the clouds, shining very, very brightly. And then it stops. We're just seeing this white hot, kind of orangey orb. And it starts to shrink, and it just shrinks out of existence right as we're watching it. And honestly, that night we didn't think much of it. It wasn't super impactful the second that it happened. It wasn't till, you know, weeks later that we would really, you know, kind of digest what we were seeing and how we came to see that, how we really set a 10-minute timer, timer goes off, and we look up and there it is. And that's really what happened. Even to this day, it continues to kind of set in on, you know, what this means. If we really made contact with a non-human intelligence, then, you know, that's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. But we didn't know. We don't know what it was to this day. We don't know. You know, some people say that we just manifested it or whatever, and I can't argue with that necessarily, because, you know, we went out to go see a UFO and we just saw one, and it definitely has impacted us in a handful of ways. Obviously, we do this booth now where we just kind of tell the public about the most recent UAP UFO happenings in the government, and we stay conspiracy free on our booth. But honestly, our contact experience was very strange, and it has impacted us. And I think I can speak for both of us when I say it's impacted us spiritually as well. And it's been, I think a lot of people could have interpreted this as, you know, a real religious experience, or, you know, I think in the past people would have said, you know, it was an angel in the sky. But we don't know. And we still don't know. But thanks for listening. And that's pretty much it.
Hey guys, Ryan here. When I'm not making the Somewhere in the Skies podcast, I am listening to podcasts. And one of my favorites since the very beginning has and continues to be the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold. Do you like conversations about UFOs, ghosts, cryptids, and the unexplained? The Paranormal Podcast, which launched in 2005, is the longest-running podcast of its type on the internet. The show harkens back to the best of paranormal media over the years. Shows like In Search Of and Unsolved Mysteries. My favorite aspect of the show is that every week it's something completely different. Which, for someone who lives, breathes, and sleeps UFOs, it's so refreshing to learn about other mysterious topics as well. But don't get me wrong. Jim's interviews on the UFO topic are also top-notch. Whether you're a veteran UFO researcher or brand new to the topic, Jim's interviews always set the standard for objective and insightful conversations. He's interviewed everyone from Jacques Vallée to the late, great Stanton Friedman. And that is just the start. And for you superstitious listeners out there, I have been honored to be a guest on the Paranormal Podcast a whopping 13 times. Luckily, I'll be coming back on soon to change that number. So please, do me a personal favor and tune in to the Paranormal Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to Somewhere in the Skies.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
My name is Sally, and I am 60 years old. I have worked in administration at a global manufacturing company for 31 years. I come from a middle-class family where my father was an Air Force veteran, fireman, and government official his whole life. When I was a teenager, I hung out with my friends quite a bit to listen to music and do what teenagers do, what most 16-year-olds did in the late 70s. One night I got off of work at dusk from the local KFC, and my friend Cindy met me there. We were to be at our friend Tom's house in about a half an hour. Neither one of us had a car, so we had to walk the mile or so. When we were about two blocks from Tom's house, we saw a large red orb with two smaller red orbs behind it. They were moving fast right above us, and they were descending at a sharp angle. Just then they disappeared, but the city tornado alarms went off. There was no weather threat, so we could not imagine what had happened. While we were rounding the corner to Tom's house, we saw like two people coming towards us at the other end of the block, and they looked like they were wearing beekeeper or chemical suits of some kind. So we ran to Tom's and pounded on the door, screaming to let us in. Cindy and I were too scared to look out the door or window to see what happened to the strange beekeeper people. To this day, when we talk, we still wonder what the heck that was all about. I do need to add that we had not imbibed any substances that day. We were pretty sober. One time, my friend Lori was sitting in a car with our friend Greg on an afternoon eating takeout. They were parked facing the river, which was perpendicular to the car. All at once, a cylindrical shape, like the Tic Tac or recent type of thing that's out now, it shot past them just above the river. The craft had no wings or means of propulsion, made no sound, and had no markings. Just when they recovered their composure about it, it shot back in the other direction. There were too many trees and bushes around the banks of the river, so they could not see past their viewpoint. To this day, she still ponders that rare event. I wish I could have seen it too. Lori is a very sane, sober, and bookish person. She's not prone to fantasy, and she's been my best friend for 45 years, so I believe her. A couple years later, we had a UFO sighting on the 4th of July. It was about 1993. I took my daughter with me, who was 4 at the time, and Lori to the local park to watch the fireworks. It was still fairly light out, so we spread out a blanket on the grass to mark our spot. I was laying down looking up at the sky when I spotted a craft that was stationary. It was round and silver-looking, kind of like a ball bearing, just hanging there and not moving. Lori saw it too, but she wasn't mystified like I was. I estimated there were about 20 minutes had elapsed and it was still there. It got dark out, so it might have still been there or could have disappeared. But I was just pondering that perhaps the occupants of the orb were just there to see the fireworks. And I saw that same orb or a similar one in Mesa, Arizona. Just a few years ago, I did snap a picture of it from a distance. So that's just a couple of my stories. Thank you.
Hi, Ryan, and hi, listeners. So my name is Persephone, Persephone May Holloway on Instagram if you want to come find me. And I'm an alternative and indie musician who has been an experiencer her whole life. But to be honest, I avoided even talking about this stuff and maybe even believing in it for a very long time. I had what you'd probably call an aversion to it, whether that was planned or by accident, who knows. But it wasn't until this year when I started having some really strange dreams and then talking to some people about it that I decided I should probably go to hypnotherapy. And this is the story that I uncovered from that. It was an unseasonably hot day in September 1997. In Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I lived in a quiet suburban neighborhood known for its rich history with the Revolutionary and Civil War. My neighborhood was not unacquainted with high strangeness, but I didn't know that. I just assumed I was the only one, as most kids do. That day was different. Normally, my bus driver would drive past the one-way wooded median to the back cul-de-sac where I lived, drop me off, and then drive back out the neighborhood on the other side of the median. For whatever reason today, he dropped me off at the stony sign at the front entrance. I looked at him and probably in that annoying, precocious child way said, "This isn't my stop." He said, "Well, it is today." It was a bright blue sky with puffy white cumulus clouds everywhere. It should have only been a 10-minute walk home. When I crossed over to the median in the wooded area, it was really overgrown back then, and the houses were all set a little bit back from the street, probably to give more privacy. This time was different. It was completely still. There was nothing, no birds, no sounds of the trees. The only thing I could hear was the sound of my shoes on the asphalt and the crunch of the fall leaves under my feet. There should be something, I thought to myself. We were in a neighborhood full of young families and other children, and it was right after school. There should be other kids playing. Almost as soon as the thought crossed my mind, I heard children playing Ring Around the Rosie, but the sound didn't come from any particular direction. It was almost as if I just heard it inside my head and nowhere else. I don't know why, but the only thought that crossed my mind was, those aren't children. Those aren't human. I began to bolt, to run as fast as I could. The way that I used to remember the story, I was suddenly at my front door, running up to it, pounding for my mother to let me in. When she didn't answer, I collapsed down, and the door opened by itself, and she came out. She looked at me, not distressed despite the disheveled appearance that I had, and she said, "Where have you been? You're 45 minutes late." I told everyone that story for years, and I never knew what happened during those 45 minutes or how I had suddenly appeared from one place in my neighborhood to another. And it wasn't until this year, when I went to hypnotherapy with a friend and started to uncover what I couldn't remember, that I remembered the missing details in between. As soon as I had the thought, "They're not human," and I began to run for it, I had the sensation that something was above me, bearing down on me. I felt paralyzed, frozen, like I couldn't move. And next thing, I felt like I was up in the air, like the moment you go over a roller coaster, but the inertia never hit. Just one moment I was on the ground, and the next I thought, "I'm in the air," and then I blacked out. When I woke, I was lying on some kind of padded table, the bright light in my face, not unlike what happens when you go to a doctor's office. There were small, what I thought at first were children, around me, moving, like medical assistants, doing various tasks. But they weren't children. They were gray-skinned, bald-headed, huge black almond-shaped eyes, almost no nose, and a thin mouth. I turned my head to the left and saw a man in his maybe 40s, graying hair, and he was naked. I was only 9 and embarrassed to see it, so I turned away immediately so I wouldn't look at him anymore. A very tall being approached. 7-8 feet tall, maybe. It definitely wasn't human. For years, my mind put the image in my head of someone wearing a boxy astronaut suit and a mirrored helmet, because I don't think I could handle what I'd seen. And again, it wasn't until hypnotherapy that it made it clear for me. This being had a head like that of an insect of some kind. Huge eyes, not unlike what some people would call praying mantis, but the coloration was wrong, darker. Not like the bright green I was used to seeing in my North American upbringing. When it spoke, it didn't use a mouth or anything like that. I just heard the voice in my head. It just said, "Be still." It held a metal instrument of some kind up to my nose, and I felt a sharp pain far up. I wanted to cry, but I wasn't given much of a chance to. Another of the small beings reached up behind my neck and touched a mole there. It's still there to this day. I don't know what they were checking or looking for. It nodded to the larger being. It nodded back and then said, "We're done here. Take her." They shuffled me off the table into another side of this room. This room was huge, busy. I got the impression that everyone had a function or a purpose. Something was happening everywhere, but there were partitions and I couldn't see. I could sense that there were other people other than myself. I could sense that people were upset, distressed, but mostly just out of it, like they were half asleep. There were multiple floors above this room. Almost like standing in the mezzanine of an office building. It's because of that I started calling this room the mezzanine, although I don't really know why. They led me to dress back into part of my school uniform, although they didn't give me back my shoes, backpack, or blazer, though those things would be on me when I ended up back at my house later. They took me to the mouth of a hallway, where a man waited for me, or at least he looked like a man, but I knew he wasn't human. From the minute I saw him, I knew he knew everything about me. As if he'd looked inside me and read every moment of my soul, my dreams, my fears, everything. He knew it all. He was about 6'2", dark, short-cropped hair, bright blue eyes, so blue. At the time, I compared it to my mother's favorite actor, Richard Harris. But even then, they glowed with a kind of luminosity that I can't explain. He seemed annoyed at me. And he grabbed my arm with slender, pale hands. Began to pull me along. He wore some kind of molded black jumpsuit with no seams, zippers, or buttons that I could see anyway, and something like maybe a cape or a robe, I can't quite remember, but I just got the impression that he was important. He seemed annoyed, and I thought he was annoyed at me, but in hindsight and through, again, hypnotherapy, we think perhaps he was annoyed at the mantid being behind us that I started calling the mentor. Why, I don't know. It was just the name I gave it. He took me to an area where there was a sunken room, much like in American-style ranch houses. You have sunken living rooms that are a few steps down. It was padded, and there was a huge bay window in there, but it was shuttered closed, so I never saw outside of it. In the center of the room sat 5 beings with an opening right at the front, as if you're meant to join the circle. They sat lotus-style, and while they were built similarly to the other gray beings, these ones had no face. They were following the track of some sort of object. It was like 1,000 tiny metal pieces. I keep thinking of it as kinetic metal because it would shift and change in the air, but it was all painted blue. They followed it as one, all turning to watch it. They frightened me for some reason, but with one look, and in order to be silent, look, and pay attention, the fear left me. The being tried to explain to me the purpose of this game. But it was almost like he put an entire zip file inside my head. I couldn't comprehend it. He seemed frustrated at this, now actually at me. There was a gray being beside him. She stepped up. I got the impression she was a she. Matronly, kind. She touched his arm and said, "Axilia." I still don't know what it means, whether it's a title or another part of his name or something. He paused, let her come forward. She explained it to me, but I don't remember her ever using words. But however she explained it, I suddenly understood. I sat down with the others. The purpose of this game was to keep the ball, as it was a ball, in the shape of a sphere, and pass it from one to the other with a slight telepathic, what I call, knock. You would have to wait for the other person to take it. If you let go of the control too soon, it would shatter into 1,000 pieces. I finally started to get the hang of it. and I got the sense, rather than the words, that being behind me was very pleased. So I turned to look at him, and I saw that he was smiling, mouth closed, of course, but smiling. Something about this handsome man proud of me and watching the game made my pre-adolescent heart skip a beat. The moment that that happened, as if he sensed it immediately, his attention snapped from the game to me. I got the briefest flash of something like I wasn't supposed to know. Something like, people don't look at me like that, or humans. And also, that isn't my function. Although, I swear it was like he was telling someone else that, and not me. Then it was like that all went away. Shuttered closed, much like the window. I couldn't read his thoughts at all. Silence, and I thought he was mad. Or that I'd done something wrong. Then very slowly, calculatingly, he asked, do you find me attractive? I said yes. I dropped the ball behind me, unable to control it anymore, and it shattered again into 1,000 pieces. Someday, I will be much more to you. But for now, I'm just your friend, he said. Something about this filled me with relief. I was only 9, after all, and he was an adult, so it was scary. There is bits and pieces of missing time here that I'm unsure I'll recover. And we ended up on some kind of flight deck. There was a chair, a leather chair in the middle, black leather, with crystal half-moon arms around them, or perhaps glass, but something told me it was more than glass. Golden embossed symbols that I couldn't read, just slightly above them. He was trying to explain to me how they worked in the case that I could fly someday. And I was telling him that I have astigmatism, I'll never fly. And he laughed. He laughed. He thought that was so funny, and I didn't know why he laughed. He seemed like he was about to explain it to me, but the door opened, and the insectoid being came back in and said, what are you doing? We're wasting time. We have to put her back. He approached with a syringe full of yellow liquid, and I backed up, scared. And next thing I knew, the needle was in my neck, and everything went black. When I woke back up, I was running towards my front door again, with no memory of everything that had just happened, and there was a reddish mist filling the sky, or a light. It's still strange that my mother never reacted to it, and the only reason I remembered the story was because for years I would take friends back to that old neighborhood and say, hey, you should hear some of the crazy stories that happened here. There are more details and a lot more to the story before this and after, and I have reason to believe that the being is still in touch with me in very lucid dreams, but that's a story for another time. Personally, I don't feel that I had a really negative experience here. I don't consider myself an abductee. I don't like that word because it makes me feel like I'm supposed to be a victim. I really see myself as more of an experiencer, and I'm someone who this has changed my life for the better. I just don't know how yet. And it's something that I'm meant to talk about and share, and that's just how I feel. In the meantime, thank you for listening, and just know if you've ever experienced anything like this, you're not alone. There are others like you out there.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.